Welcome to Traveling Texas Moms, where we teach you how to use the world of travel in an optimized life to help busy parents create the freedom to act like kids. I'm your host, Mallory Smith.
And I'm Kendall McMillan. If you're new to the show, welcome. If you haven't already subscribed, please like, subscribe, and follow us on any platform at Traveling Texas Moms.
We always appreciate our growing community and are grateful for our time with you. Let's roll on today's show. Okay, Kendall, today we are talking about how to survive and enjoy ski trips when you're not from the mountains. Our listeners should be able to walk away with some tips to help them prepare for both an adult's trip or a family trip, both physically and mentally challenging, drawing from both of our recent experiences this ski season. Let's jump in. Okay, so I want to start. So in case anybody's wondering, I took the adult's trip and Kendall took the family trip, both within the last couple of weeks, few weeks. And we both have some very interesting takeaways from it that hopefully somebody can use something that helps them moving forward, please, somebody. All right. So I'm gonna start with the preparation of it. So with my adult's trip, it was up in Breckenridge, Colorado. Once again, we're from the Texas area, specifically the North Texas Dallas area. Kendall's originally from San Antonio, but yeah. Right. Either way, neither of us are used to elevation. So the first takeaway that I have in preparation for this type of journey is about a month or so before we took the trip, I stopped taking the elevator at work. So I work on the third floor of our building, and I decided if I want any chance of having a hope of survival on one day on the slopes, then I would need to increase my cardio and my leg strength. And so I started taking the stairs like basically every day up and down, minimum three flights of stairs each way. There were several days when I would go from third floor to fourth floor or third floor to fifth floor, you know, whatever. But I only took the stairs. I have given up the elevator completely. And honestly, I translated that into what I gave up for Lent as well, because I felt so good about it that like once I started doing it and once I felt the pain and really exercised that, I'm like, you know what? This is a good struggle. This can only benefit me. So I still have not taken the elevator even after the ski trip, but I feel like, you know, on the days when I was trekking up the mountain in the elevation, in the cold, like maybe I struggled slightly less than the other adults in my group, but
there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did not use, okay. So everybody in my group was using these, boost oxygen tanks, these little tanks where they just take a hit of oxygen. And they said that it helped them with their altitude sickness. I did not do any of that. Not that it's a bad thing. I just wanted to really, I never felt sick. Maybe I'm just lucky, who knows, but it seemed for those who did get kind of that altitude sickness that seemed to really help them. And they seemed to enjoy it. And some of them smelled really good. Like they were like eucalyptus flavors. It's like a little stress relieving element. And so let's talk about packing real quick. So there were lots of activities for us. We did more than just snow skiing in our group. And so I think the key to this is just layers. Cause I mean, while there was tons of snow on the mountain, it was like 40 degrees, which for us Texans, like that's cold. But when you're on the mountain, you're doing physical activity and everything else, it just doesn't seem that cold. So it's good to have like jackets with the vents in them so you can like open up your armpits and get that breathing room, you know, like that little gust of air through there. Or like maybe if it's 40, skip the thermals completely. I don't know. I was sweating so bad.
it was warm.
Yeah. Yeah. Warm for the mountain. But if we were here in Dallas, with the layers, definitely. If we were here in Dallas and we had to deal with that 40 degree weather, we'd be shivering. So it's a different kind of warm. It's a different kind of cold.
All right. So number two for my experience, once again, given that this is all adults, is that activities are different. They hit differently when you're at higher elevations with low oxygen. So I already touched on the altitude sickness a little bit. Something else that I want to talk about is that if you choose to partake in adult beverages at these elevations, they hit you quicker. Just, you know, PSA for everybody out there who is enjoying these beverages in these ski towns. We witnessed lots of different scenarios that were all very entertaining, given that they didn't impact us personally. But and I'm trying to be as PG as possible with all of this. But yeah, I mean, even me, like I'm a level one sommelier. I love wine. I love whiskey. And I could feel like even at that elevation that it affects differently. So just, heads up for anybody who hasn't done that at elevations before that it's a thing. Now, so I did one day of skiing, which granted, it does not come to me naturally. I was doing the pizza the whole way down. I think Kendall, you said less pizza, more French fry. Yeah. But I, you know pizza. What? Yeah. Yeah. So French fries would have been probably easier on my quads. But you know, I'm an accident prone person. So like when I was a kid, I was just like, sky's the limit. Go and do whatever you can, like go as fast as you can, as crazy as you can. And I've gotten a lot of broken bones from that. And so now that I am more mature in some senses, in my early 30s, so first of all, that my family all had bets that I would come back with some sort of broken bone. And so, my stubborn side, well, I mean, I'm not surprised given my history and they know me and just how they are. But, you know, I'm a very stubborn person and I was not going to let them win that bet. So rather than just be my no holds bar type attitude and just going for it, I just chose a lot more leisurely ride. I did mostly greens and I tried one blue and it was a pretty steep blue, from this novice skier's perspective. I snowplowed the whole way and I'm just like,
so was this just going down greens and blues? Was this a way to win the bet or you just challenging run?
Well, you think I was going to get on a...
How long have you been skiing? I don't even know. Gosh, like, when did you learn? How old were you?
Okay, so I went once.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, I went once when I was like probably 8. And that was on, I think, Rose Mountain, Nevada. And then the next time would have been maybe 12 in Angel Fire. And then after that was like 16 or 17 in, I think Colorado Springs, Wolf Creek, I think is what it was.
Okay.
And then this is the first time I've been since 2007. So I was practically learning all over again with my adult body in my higher my higher center of gravity. In all of that. So I am practically a novice. Like I have no skills whatsoever. And so, yeah, that definitely played into a lot of how I acted. It was not all just to win a bet. It was just like, I am not comfortable. I am not ready to get hurt. Let's just have a slow, leisurely ride down this wonderful mountain without any implications. I didn't fall once. So I'm very proud of that.
Very good.
Although there were two people on our trip that did get hurt. And like, so one of them, he was fairly, he'd been quite a few times, but he likes to take it slow as well. And I don't know what happened. Like he just went off a trail at the end and like busted his knee up. And I felt so bad. It was right behind me. I was like, you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm good. Like, you could just tell. And he was limping the next day. I think he's better now. And then the other guy that wrecked out next to me, I don't know if it's just me or if it just, you know, just circumstantial, but he was on a snowboard and he had a hard time slowing down and he went off on the side and ended up breaking two ribs. And yeah, no, like, and so like, I saw him go off on the side and I stopped and I tried to make sure he was okay. And he's like, I was like, hey, you good? He's like, nope, nope. And so like, I argued with him for about 5 minutes because I guess he's as stubborn as I am. And I was like, let me drag your snowboard down the mountain. I think I've got enough coordination for that. And I was like, you walk down. It was close to the end. I was like, you walk down, like, I'll take your snowboard down. Like, let's get you looked at. And he refused. He went ahead and just kind of like put the board back on and got down the mountain. Then we were in the locker room and he's just like, oh, I can't breathe. And I'm just like, dude, like, let us help you.
He actually broke two ribs.
Yeah. Yeah. He confirmed it. Oh, his wife finally made him go to the doctor when he got home.
There's nothing you can do for a broken rib, right?
There's nothing, but it's good to know, right? Like, you live your life a little differently once you know that those are broken, maybe.
So did they heal on?
Like, yeah. Yeah. They'll, I mean, they pretty much stay in place. So like they'll heal. It just takes maybe 6 to 8 weeks. But something that I got a kick out of. So we were in the locker room and like, you know, where all of the people who were staying on resort, they'd put their boots and everything. So you just kind of switch them out before you return your rentals. And, you know, he was in a lot of pain, you could tell. And a couple of us were in that area. And I was like, all right, well, you're in a lot of pain. So I'm going to grab your boots and I'm going to take them back for you. He's like, no, don't touch those. They're sweaty. I picked them up. I'm like, you can't catch me because you got broken ribs. He just ran off with them. And I'm like, I'm trying to be helpful. And he's not letting me be helpful.
That's what alcohol
is. That's what it sounds like. No, that's me completely sober. You know, I'm a little crazy regardless. Come on, this whole podcast is about teaching stuck, you know, like people that are stuck in their stiffness to act like kids. That is a kid moment right there.
It is quite the kid moment.
Yeah. Yes. But I mean, it came from a good place. Like, I was trying to help. And so, yeah, I mean, he seems to be doing better now. He's up to his usual level of sarcasm and everything. So he can't be hurting that bad.
That's good. Sarcasm is always appreciated in the office.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially in our group. But, yeah, so I only did one day of skiing because I was fully expecting that my body would not be able to handle two straight days of skiing, especially since I hadn't done it since I was 17 and or 16, 17, who knows? I don't, it was around that time. But our groups did do a couple of other activities. So if you're not a skier, I would highly recommend the dog sledding. So like a lot of our group did that the first day while I was skiing. And they said it was like probably one of the best experiences of their life. They said that like they had to throw their weight on the inside of the sleds while they were doing sharp turns and and they said what the coolest part about that was is that the dogs loved it too. It's like not like they're being forced to do this. Like they take a break and they roll around in the snow and they cool off. And like before anybody else is ready to go, they are back in line and they're barking at you like, let's go. Like,
yes.
So
we've done the dog sledding in Breckenridge before. One of the places we've been, it's called Good Times or Good Time, something like that. But the guy was telling us all this cool stuff about the dogs. And he told us that those huskies, like optimum temperature that they work the best at. Like, what do you think the temperature is when they are like their optimum level of?
I'd say like 10 degrees Fahrenheit.
Negative 50 degrees.
No.
That is their optimal temperature. That's like when they feel the best running. And my optimum temperature is like 77 degrees.
Like, oh, yeah. Like Hawaiian Island, a cool breeze. Yeah. Like that's optimum temperature.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, negative 50.
Oh, well.
They have to chain them up. Like they don't ever get to just run free because they will just keep running.
Yeah.
They have to like always be roped down or tied down to something because they're the true working dog. That
yeah. Well, and it's what they love to do.
Don't stop.
They live for it, right?
Oh, yeah. They love it. Absolutely. Yeah. You can see that they love it. Sorry to interrupt your story, but I just had to share that. It was
it's
so
all good stuff. So that's exactly the experience that they had. I wish I had done that. And then day two for me, like some of us went snowmobiling, which that same trip that I was talking about when I was like 16, 17, I had a blast snowmobiling, but we went across this dam that had been snowed in. And like, I was the last one in our group to come across the dam, and the snow gave out underneath the right side of my snowmobile. And luckily I had like the instincts to throw my weight into the slope, and my snowmobile slid down like probably 25, 30 feet. And it was scarier than crap. And the worst part was, so like I was there with my mom's cousin at the time. And like, all I remember was her screaming. Like as soon as it was happening, I heard her scream. Like she didn't see me go, like she didn't know where I went. And then I was down, and I'm like, what just happened? And it was so steep that the professionals that were like our guides couldn't get it back up. They had to like go around and find another trail that was less steep to get the snowmobile back up. And so like, luckily everything was fine. It could have been a lot worse, but
people
after that,
die on those snowmobiles.
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, yes. Yeah.
That's a very dangerous activity.
Yeah. It's just cause you just don't know, like you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the terrain. Like, and if you're not familiar with how they operate, it's really easy to get in a bad spot with those. So, I chose not to do that this time. You know, I've got a 5-year-old daughter.
You had to win that bet. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to win the bet. I was not going to take too many risks. So, instead I did, a horse-drawn sleigh activity on day two. And you know what? The people were fantastic. They were the coolest. Like, they really took care of the guests, but it was portrayed to me as a horse-drawn sleigh. In reality, it is a draft horse / mule drawn sleigh, which, I mean, they were still beautiful. Like, so there were some French draft horse, and I think like one Belgian maybe. But I mean, beautiful. Some of them are a little cranky. He liked to nip, you know, but because I was petting their noses. I love horses. So I was going to pet, and he just kind of kept nipping. And one of the drivers, she was like, "Hey, if you come over here, they're a little bit more like user friendly." And I'm like, "Yeah, I get it. Like, he's not giving us the signs. He doesn't want to be messed with. Like, cool, whatever." But it was a lot more leisurely than I would have liked it. So if you like things a little bit more slow paced, like that is the right thing to do. Like it was kind of through a mountain park type area, and they've got like a campground, and they've got some hot chocolate chip cookies at the campground, and some hot chocolate as well. And they've got warm peppermint schnapps if you want them, in your hot chocolate. And you know me with my dietary restrictions, I can't have dairy. So I just did a shot of the warm peppermint schnapps and a cookie, which they were sweet enough. It was great. And then they had a cowboy with a guitar just singing songs. And you stayed there for about 20 minutes, and you did a 20-minute ride back. So overall, it was an hour. It was very, very chill. But it was nice. It was cool. So like, those are a couple of different activities that you can do in a ski town if you don't care to ski. You know, kind of the last couple of things I'll touch on from our trip is, you know, we had about 30 or so people with us, and you know, these ski towns, they're made for like family trips mostly. And we had a challenge, you know, finding space for all of our people, you know, to eat dinner. And so I would suggest if you're going with larger groups, you know, definitely make accommodations ahead of time, because you don't want to catch these people off guard. They're working hard just like anybody else. And we saw that there were some challenges in accommodating groups of that size. But, you know, the last little bit about my trip that I need to talk about is just stopping to really appreciate the beauty around you. So like, while that horse-drawn sleigh activity that I went on was a little bit slower than I had hoped for, or a little bit different than I imagined, you know, we got to the campsite and I just looked back and I just see all of these mountains in the distance, and it's cool. And granted, there was a blizzard coming, and you could see it start to come up over the mountains. You could see the clouds coming before it actually hit the town. And so that was something that we were like, oh, well, that'll be interesting when that finally hits. But it was so pretty. And like, for someone who doesn't normally see snow and get to experience snow, that was a different experience. And I really appreciate it. So when you're on these trips, don't forget to just stop and take in the beauty of everything. And those are kind of my takeaways from our adults level trip. Luckily we got out, like the blizzard started, and we went out to the bars that night, and we got to see it like all covered the streets, and like there was probably 7 inches by the time we woke up the next morning. And we got out early so the vans could still take us back to Denver, and we made it down the mountain. But yeah, like it was one of those things, like we were fully prepared to get stuck there. We're like, well, whatever happens, happens at this point. We're all working anyways, so why not? So those are my takeaways. Kendall, so tell me what happened on your trip. I know we haven't gotten to catch up. I got a couple of messages on situations.
Yeah. So I have 4 kids, and we took the 3 oldest. So the 8-year-old, the 7-year-old, and the 2-year-old. The 18-month-old stayed home with my mom because she doesn't like skiing. She can't do the altitude. And so it worked out great because I'm already paying for daycare here. Why would I want to take her all the way to Colorado just to put her in daycare again? So anyways, it worked out great. So the 2 oldest went into ski school, which was great. They've never been skiing before. And it's just a great way to learn. You know, you're with kids your age, your same abilities, and the ski instructors are really great. That all worked out amazing. Well, the 2-year-old, we went to Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and this was only just like a week ago, recording this episode, right? So still like trying to decompress,
still fresh.
Oh gosh.
So ski school starts at 3 years old.
And you knew this before going, or
no? Well, me and my darn honesty tried to I put in the kids' birthdays when I was signing them up online. When I couldn't sign the 2-year-old up because you have to be 3, that's when I called and was like, hey, this is what's happening. So my 2-year-old is going to be 3 in less than a month. And they were not able to make an exception. But they were like, you know, thank you so much for, you know, being honest about this and not trying to like lie about her age, because we would have to kick you off the mountain and then you'd never be able to come back again if we found out. So there's that. So
kudos to you for being an upstanding citizen.
It's a curse, really. So we were like, okay, well, we'll just keep her with us and we'll just have her ski right in front of us. You know, some neighbors actually down the street had one of those little, like, kid harnesses that you can hook up and the, has like a little handle. Well, that would have been great had my 2-year-old even wanted to put the skis on. She didn't actually want to ski. So that was tough. So then we bought a private ski lesson for her, for this poor little ski instructor. It's like her first year as an instructor. And it's like $500 an hour for this. Jeez. Just for my 2-year-old to decide not to ski, not to even attempt the skiing, and just drink hot chocolate and eat cookies inside.
Because who wouldn't want to do that?
Right. We're the fools, really. Like, yeah. But that did give us a chance for like the adults on the trip, which is my dad and my brother, my youngest of my 2 brothers.
And then obviously my husband. So the four of us, we took a couple of runs while the kids were occupied and in ski school and whatnot. But the other days that we didn't put her in or pay for the $500 an hour to eat cookies, we just took turns at the bottom of the slopes. There's a great little restaurant area with a bunch of different shops and restaurants and all the ski lockers. And it's this huge deal. And it's actually, they do country music festivals and things cool. at the same location. So they had a big stage, big wide open area. They could accommodate like essentially a concert, which is really cool. A beautiful spot for that. Like it's Steamboat is very close to like cowboy country. Mm-hmm. It's not really your typical ski town of that culture, that kind of
where I was in Breckenridge.
Yeah, Breckenridge is pretty extreme in the marijuana jokes and use and all that stuff. Like it's affected a lot more, I feel like. Steamboat hides it better, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the difference is there, but Steamboat is actually a lot less altitude. Steamboat, or I don't remember what the difference is, but Breckenridge is up really high.
Yeah.
So
I won't say that I saw. I didn't see a whole lot of the marijuana usage in Breckenridge. I just saw a lot of people making bad choices. So I mean, that could be from anything, though, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but yeah, Steamboat's been able to conceal that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think anywhere in the state, you'll probably run into that. But if you're going with young kids or I don't know, I feel like you just need to be aware of the culture that if you're going to be walking around town, you're going to see a lot of marijuana related references and sure. possibly like dispensaries. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. You could tell we're from Texas.
Completely unfamiliar. So Steamboat is not as a high elevation, and no one got sick on our trip, which was nice. Because there have been definitely trips in our past where we've gone to Breckenridge and like my other younger brother just vomited all over the grocery, all inside the grocery store. He just got sick and was totally fine after that. But poor guy.
Yeah, no kidding. He needed some of those oxygen tanks.
I know. I didn't even know you could like use that if you're not like climbing a mountain or something.
They've got them like advertised in the airport now. They're everywhere.
Oh, wow. I never saw any of that.
Wow.
I was chasing a toddler the whole time. So
it may have been there. Yeah. You never know. You might have just went past it.
Well, that rolls into my next point of we flew into the Yampa Valley Regional Airport, which is 30 minutes outside of Steamboat. So it's a much smaller airport. I don't know if you saw my reel, but you could see like when you get off the plane, they literally just like roll up a ramp to the plane and you walk outside. And I've only had to do that one time, which was on our honeymoon in, where did we go? The Dominican Republic. I forgot where we went. So it's a great airport. It had everything that you wanted. Little restaurant. I wouldn't say restaurant. It had a little thing you could get food and drinks, but very functional little airport. But that is something also to take into account because we got stuck. We were supposed to come home Wednesday morning. We get to the airport around 11:30, and our flight keeps getting delayed. And it wasn't necessarily that like the Yampa Valley was getting hit hard with weather because it was snowing, but it wasn't like a blizzard. I would imagine, pilots are able to
land and take off in that kind of weather. The problem was our flight, most of the people that were in the airport, their flights were coming from Denver.
Yeah.
Or like their plane was connecting through Denver, whatever it may be. So Denver was getting hit hard with a blizzard. Like we saw it on the news later on that like Boulder was hit. People were without power and things like that. So they got the worst of it. So that made our flight delayed. And then eventually canceled. So we were in the airport for 9 hours, which trying to
kids
entertain them was really tough. This airport had this cute little kid play area, which is like soft play equipment, you know, that they can stack
the squishy stuff. Yeah.
yeah, it was really cute. But that could only hold their attention for so long. But anyways, so yeah, our flight ended up being canceled. So everybody does a mad dash to get a rental car. And so we didn't get a rental car. My dad had to drive back into Steamboat, or he was already in Steamboat. He had to drive back to the airport, pick us all up and take us back into Steamboat. It was a nightmare. And we stayed in a hotel, the five of us. And then we tried to get out the next day. Thankfully, we were able to, but it was an adventure.
Okay, so what's, other than the kids' play area, what would you say is like a key survival tip that you have for anybody stuck in an airport with kids?
A tablet.
Okay, so I know you and I are the same mindset. Like we try and limit screen time with our kids to some effect, but okay, let's just rip the labels off of this. Let's just call it what it is. Like when you are tired and there is more harm to your own mental sanity than to the kids' extra screen time. Like just do the tablet, just put the Bluey on, put whatever on and just roll with it.
Yeah. That's what I downloaded to their iPad before we left for the trip was like all the seasons of Bluey and like just watch it. I don't care. Oh, I'm glad I did because it was a struggle.
Because then, I mean, you can't be a present parent if you're being pulled in all five different directions, right? Like you're a better parent if you are handling all of the stress in these situations and then also like just taking a break where you can, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got really lucky that my dad and brother were still in Steamboat. They were leaving the next day. So they were able to come get us when we were stuck at the airport because they had no rental cars. The shuttles were, I don't know if they'd shut them down or they were all booked or whatever. Like, I don't know what some of the other people did eventually that, you know, were still there when we left, but you know, I don't know what you do. You sleep in an airport. I don't even know if that's allowed. Are you allowed to sleep in an airport?
Oh, there's plenty of people to do it. It's just not sanitary most days. It's just sometimes you just don't have a choice. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was our first time to Steamboat. We, besides getting stuck in the airport, we absolutely loved it. It was fantastic. We want to go again, do things a little differently.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, that's the risk of going to Colorado in the spring, right? Like one of my friends that lives in Colorado, she's like, oh yeah, like we've got, you know, the chance of blizzards until Mother's Day. It's like hard to even think about for like us Texans. We're like starting to think about pool season. We're like, is it going to be hot enough in May?
Our pool is already open. Yeah, our pool opened March 1st.
Well, I mean, and you know, brave people that jump in March, like it's still chilly, but like if you're from up north, maybe you can handle it. But
yeah,
but yeah, just totally different mindset. Like, you know, we still have, you know, potential hurricane season through September, you know, here in Texas and Dallas, you know, it's not much of a hurricane by the time it hits us. It's more of just like a bunch of rain, heavy winds, but
Well, we did get kind of a tornado formation there, only maybe 15 minutes away from us.
Oh.
One kind of formed over the Toyota Stadium there in Frisco. which is only like 15 minutes away from us. And I mean, that's kind of nerve-wracking.
Wait, like, because it's by your house and you're nowhere near it and you don't know what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, we're watching it on the news, kind of a thing. And I don't know.
Yeah. It's normal for Texas, really. Yeah. It tis the season, right?
Yeah.
Expect tornadoes and very large hail at any given moment. Yeah. One more thing I wanted to touch on that you probably didn't realize since you were with the kids, but I noticed that as an adult without kids on the mountain, the mountain gets a lot less crowded after about 1 p.m. in the afternoon. And like, I know all ski schools get out at a different time, but if you are an adult and maybe you do a couple of morning runs and then you take a break and then you do an afternoon run, you'll notice that the mountain gets a lot less crowded in the afternoons when ski school's out. So just a tip for those people going to the mountains without kids, but we got a couple more minutes here left. If you take anything away from this episode, it's this. Like, my couple tips are, remember that there's less oxygen at higher altitudes. So do yourself a favor and do some physical activity prior to your trip. I chose stairs. I feel like stairs are a good way of getting some cardio in, getting some leg strength in. But do something to help you prep for it. Otherwise, you're going to be one of those people sucking oxygen the whole time. And then also remember that ski towns aren't always equipped to serve large groups. So scout out some restaurants ahead of time. Save yourself a headache if you're in a large group. Don't go hungry. Kendall, what are some takeaways that you've got for this one?
Definitely have your ski school locked down for your kids. There's lots of activities like tubing that we did that was not ski related there in Steamboat. I second the restaurant choices. It's easy to plan those out ahead of time, even, you know, if you're not in a large group, just if they can accommodate children easily, look at their menus ahead of time. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Cool. Well, and I apologize for yawning a couple times during this show. We've hit my usual bedtime, so Kendall kept me up a little later than normal.
The night's just beginning. Come on.
Oh, gosh. Not for those of us that get up at 5. All right, guys. Reach out and let us know how you're utilizing this show in your life. Thanks for joining us. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you don't miss any future episodes.